unless we develop the mind of Jesus, then we're all going to be destroyed. But God in this last hour has given us the blessings of Christ through His grace and through His mercy. How many of you last night, as we talked, understood that we are in the end time, and that the wise men have been watching the stars, and at last the sign of the Son of Man has appeared in heaven? Did you see it last night? All right, that means that we're close at hand. You remember when that sign appeared in the heavens, it was then that the Christ child was born. And that Christ child, it has been in the womb of our heart for many years now. But now it has been born into this world. It has broke forth into this world. That's the reason you've been travailing like you have. That's the reason there's been so much sorrow and so much fear and so much frustration and all those things. It's because you've been in travail. And now, in this hour, the Christ child has come forth, and you know the prediction for him. The prophecies that's come down through thousands of years said that when he came, he would rule the earth with a rod of iron. Now, most of you know that when that child was born, the wise men was watching the stars, but at that same time, if you remember, there was a king in the land that was also watching the stars and watching the wise men of that day, because he also had heard there would come someone that would take away his kingdom. And he was watching also. And just about that time, you remember, there was a decree that went out, just like it did down there in Egypt, that they should kill all the firstborn. They wanted to kill all the firstborn that they might kill that Christ child. And so it is in the book of Revelation. You remember here in the book of Revelation how that the Bible said that the dragon made war with them that are in heaven. He warred against them. And so it is that you're fixing to enter into a warfare like you've never entered into in your life. And just before the coming Lord Jesus. So you might as well to get prepared for it. And Herod is going to try to kill out that Christ child. When he learns that this revelation has been given, and that this body of people that's coming together have a supernatural understanding and a supernatural mind, he's going to know that it's not the same as the PhDs of this world and the colleges and those kind of things. And when he realizes that it's a superseding knowledge, he's going to do everything he can to kill out the Holy Church. And watch and see if it don't happen. Just now, you say, Brother Pike, he doesn't even know about it. The Bible says there's spies that's among us that spy out our liberty in God. They're among us, whether you think so or not. Now, I got a little paper at home, and a friend of mine from Cincinnati sent it to me, and he said, Brother Pike, he said, I was amazed when I found out that one of the apostolic churches right there in Cincinnati, where I've been privileged to preach, I believe it was the same one, he said that there was somebody came around to this church and to ask this brother to go into the National Council of Churches with him. And he told him that he was talking to him, telling him that he wouldn't do it. And he mentioned something about his members. And they said, we know all about your members. We know where they live. We've got their home addresses and everything. And they knew more about his members than he knew himself. So you see, they know more than you think they know. Already they passed a law that a little church that doesn't care, I don't remember how many it is, but it's a certain amount of people, then they said they closed the doors.
300.
300 it is, all right. Now, then, you know, it takes a pretty good church to carry 300 that just about close your doors, don't you reckon? In other words, it's to kill out the Christ child. That's the purpose of it. Now then, remember, when you're talking forcefully, when you're moving around, it's easy to keep people's attention because they can't do nothing but look at you because you're hollering so loud and they can't get your mind off what you're doing. And it's easier because we press our way into the kingdom, and when you start preaching, the Spirit of God comes down. He's filling an anointing because he drives his point home. But when you're just teaching like this, there's not too much inspiration because the powers of Satan are pressing in, and there's not too much interest because the carnal mind is enmity to these things, and these things are foolishness of the natural man, so he has no interest, no desire, and he can't see anything in them. You watch a person that's real smart in the natural, and they'll never get anything from God. The Bible said, not many mighty are called. You watch a person that's a church member, that's one of these church members that's never spiritual. All they see is just kind of the natural side of church going on, like maybe going to church and praying, but they never get into the Spirit. They never understand spiritual things. Paul told him one time, he said, I'd love to speak to you as under spiritual, but seeing that you're bathed in Christ, he said, I can't. And so it is, they don't get these things because Jesus said it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto him it is given. At the sound of that last trump, the mysteries of God was to be finished. All right, now then, we're here at the end of the world. As I talk to you tonight, the only thing I can ask you to do is just to concentrate, because you can't expect it to stir you up because of not preaching. You just have to get that inner man stirred up and the inner mind stirred up to where you can draw these things out. If you can't do that, then there's nothing that you can get out of it. Because all I can do is stand here and talk to you and point out things and try to show you. I think, maybe, I don't know, but I think that anybody could see that there'd be no way to preach this right here. This is why you haven't got any more down through the years. Brother Miller, I think you substantiate the fact that a man couldn't preach what's on the board here. Now, Brother Miller just told me a little bit ago, he said, Brother Pike, I wish that I could draw and write and those things. He said, sometimes I get such a vision in my mind and in my heart, and I just want to give it to the people. He said, if I could just draw and illustrate, it would just thrill my soul. And so it is. It's just like he said, you just can't hardly bring those things out. But these things are the deep things of God. The Bible said the Spirit of God searched out the things of God and gave the deep things. Alright, now what is the purpose of these things? That's the first thing I'd love to say. What is the purpose of these things? What is the purpose of them? The purpose is that the mysteries of God that might be finished, that you might develop the mind of Almighty God, that the mind of Almighty God might change your mortal body into a celestial or a glorified form to where it will never die. Now, you say, well, Brother Pike, I just can't reach it. All right, now I'm going to tell you this so that you'll try to reach it. Remember, everybody is not going in the bride or in the rapture. Remember that. Everybody will not go in the bride and in the rapture. If you want to change that body, you better get started. Now, I know that you might say, well, Brother Pike, God is going to take us to heaven because he loves us. But friend, don't depend on that. That won't do it. He said, many shall try to enter in and shall not be able. Now, a lot of people say, well, God's just going to have mercy. He's going to take us to heaven anyway. But the Bible doesn't teach that. He said, straight is the gate. Now, straight, the word straight, means tight. It's a narrow way. It's like a straight jacket. It's a narrow way. It's a tight way. And you can't have any world of this on you. You just fit right through it. That's all. Just go right through it. So then it said, straight is the gate, and it said it's a narrow way. Narrow is the way. And he said, few there be that find it. And it said, many shall try to enter in. And as many will be church members. And many will be religious, Brother Bill. And they'll try to get in. But they will not be able. They'll not be able to do it. So then I think you can see by that it's absolutely necessary for us to press our way in and try to get into the kingdom. You see by that it is necessary. So then we've got to put up an effort. The Bible said men press their way into the kingdom. If you just get in a lost state, you know, and just do it your way and think, well, I just drift for the tide. After all, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I'm religious. You're missing the boat. You absolutely ain't going to make it. Now you say, Brother Park, am I going to be lost? I just tell you one thing. You're going to wind up going through tribulation. I don't know what God's going to do with you. But I'll tell you what. I don't want to go through the tribulation. Now you might ask the question, who is going in the bride or in the rapture? Every individual that has the Holy Ghost is going in the rapture or in the bride. You say, well, that makes me feel better because I know I've got the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, folks. People that you think have the Holy Ghost absolutely do not have the Holy Ghost. They speak in tongues, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. They pay their tithes and they come to church and they worship, but they don't have the Holy Ghost. You say, can you tell when a person's got the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. How many of you know that? Jesus said, my words are truth. Now, the way that an individual is saved is by faith in the Word of truth, and it brings forth the Spirit of the Word, which is the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit seals his inner man until the day of the redeeming of his outer man, which is the body. As we wait for the redemption of our body. So then the way that you tell a person has got the Holy Ghost is that their spirit will guide them into all truth. Amen. See it on the board? All truth and all righteousness. If the Holy Spirit is in them, he will never let them rest night nor day. He said, I'll set people upon your walls, ministers, or watchmen upon your wall that'll take away the battlements of ideology and disciplines. and tear down the walls that's made out of a different man-made mortar of theology. And he said they'll never hold their peace night nor day. And then he spoke of the man that has the Holy Ghost, said he's like a tree that's planted by the water, and he meditates in his laws when he has opportunity.
No.
I'm glad we got some preachers here tonight. How did he say he meditated? Day and night. In other words, somebody said, look out for Pythagoras going crazy. You know, they told Paul, and see, Roy coming in, we're glad to see him tonight. And you know, they told Paul back there, they said, Paul, you just too much learning, he's done made you crazy. You just done gone crazy. But he said, I'm not crazy. So then, you see that we've got to get into the mind of the Lord to be able to go into all truth and all righteousness. You understand that? And if you got the Holy Ghost, he will guide you into all truth and righteousness. And the way he guides you into it is you meditate in his law all the day long and all the night long. Now, says if you keep your mind stayed on Christ Jesus, you'll have perfect peace. And like I said, some folks say, well, you just lose your mind. That's what you'll do. No, friend, you'll lose your mind when you get in the other. That's where you lose your mind, when you get in the other. Every individual is headed for the spiritual realms. There's no way to stop. Now, you might say, I don't want to get into the spiritual realm, Brother Pike. I just want to stay out here where I'm at. There ain't nothing you can do about it. You're going into infinity. You might as well look to remember it. Your inner man, which is life, came from infinity. And it's housed in a body to give it opportunity to mold the nature of Jesus Christ, and it's going back to infinity. Now, you're trying to put on the brakes, but it won't do any good. If you reject the mind of Jesus, you'll go into infinity of the mind of darkness and evil. You can't stop it. You're headed for spiritual limbs, and we're right here at the crossing over of worlds right now. How many of you believe that? Now then, the mind of Christ is life and peace because it is a mind of life, a world of life. But the mind of Satan is fear and death because it is a world of darkness. Darkness is accounted for as the knowledge of evil. Light is accounted for as the knowledge of righteousness. You know where the Bible speaks that of the said a strong angel came down from heaven, and he took Satan and he bound him with chains and cast him into a pit. Now, the Bible says in the book of James, I believe it is, speaks of the brute beast that's made to be taken and burned. When he spoke of these people, he spoke of them as being wandering stars of whom the mist of darkness was reserved forever. And he said, he spoke of the chains of darkness, that they'd be bound with chains of darkness. So then when God brought the angel down from heaven and bound Satan, he bound him with a chain of dark understanding. That's the chain that he was bound with. That he was cast in the outer darkness, which is out of the mind of understanding, into a world of spiritual ignorance and darkness. That's the chains that people are bound with. They are bound in a chain of understanding where they're ever learning and never able to come to the truth knowledge. Always learning. Always learning. Look at the big doctors and professors and all those men that are ever learning, and they never can find the truth of knowledge. But here we are, he's revealed it unto us as babes. We've got the knowledge of truth. We've got it, which is the mind of Jesus Christ. They never discovered it. So then, we find that it's absolutely necessary for us to develop one of the two minds. There's nothing we can do about it.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to read a little bit from the book of Genesis. And now, how many of you are going to stay with me? Now, all I'm doing is talking. You can see that already. All I'm doing is talking. I'm not going to try to shout at you to get your attention because it's just the hour when we need to get serious about things and grow up. I know we got spiritual children that ain't going to listen. I realize that. Spiritual people that ain't going to pay no attention to them, to the Word of God. And then we got people that just ain't never going to be saved anyway. They're not going to pay attention. But do you think we ought to stop teaching the things of God because they're not? I don't believe we ought to. There's always been that. Way back yonder in the olden days, they had ministers and they had the same trouble that we're having. Same identical trouble. There was people that listened to them and people that wouldn't listen to them. I heard Brother Miller say the other day that when you started talking about sanctified folks, the first thing the people said was tie your wife to the bedpost and lock up your meat hides. So, that's what they thought about the church of yesterday, so you can imagine what they think about the church of today.
found it. But the thing is, Satan throwed the mud at it to keep the virtue hid. God allowed so that they couldn't see the good that was in the waters. He let every devil and demon and every adulterer and fornicator and everything else come along to cover up the virtue so that the rich man wouldn't monopolize on it so he could give it to the poor and to the beggars. So then, now in the book of Genesis, I want to read just a little bit here and then we'll start on our chart. And now, we're going to, if God will notice, if you're hungry and you start drawing, if God will notice, we're going to get into some deep water tonight. The Bible said lunge out into the deep. And we're going to get into the deep water tonight and let God's Spirit search out the deep things of God. Going into infinity in our thoughts, if the Lord will allow us to. It's up to you as to whether you draw that or not. We just got a chart, and I think you can see by the chart that I kind of got my mind on the Lord. So I don't think you have to question as to whether I've got my mind on the Lord or not. I think you'd be questioning as to whether you've got your mind on the Lord. So then we see here in the book of Genesis, we'll read here in the first chapter to kind of give us a little boost just for the teaching. It says here, and the evening of the morning was the third day. That's the 13th verse of the first chapter of the book of Genesis. The 14th verse, and God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the day, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years. And that's why I said the other night, the sign of the Son of Man was appearing in heaven, because you are lights. You're referred to as stars. We're not going to go into all that. But you're referred to as stars, and you're set for signs and for seasons. I can watch you and tell what sign it is and what season it is. Praise God. Now, he says here, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights. Now remember, lights upon... Now I want you to get this thought real good. Now God did not have to make any stars because He's God. Somebody said, well, He had to create stars so we'd have light. No, God didn't have to make stars. He could give light without stars. Over in the new city of New Jerusalem, there won't be any stars, won't be any moon, won't be any sun or anything, but there'll still be light. So God doesn't have to have it. But the reason He put those things there was for signs and for seasons, that it might typify of being an allegory, that it might educate you under the infinite of the spiritual mind of Jesus Christ to show you the real true light, which is revelation. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Now, you are the light of the world. And He said He placed these here for light. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. That's God. And the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, we are the lesser light, for we are the church, and God is the greater light. We could go into a lot of revelation on that, but we're not going to do that. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Now, He goes on down a little farther. He said, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. The moving creature that hath life and fowls that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Now we're going to skip a lot here that's a lot of revelation in. But we're going to go on down to where we can find... I believe we're over too far. I have to back up here. I started a little too far. Back up here to the first chapter again. And let's start reading right at the beginning. The first few verses here is what I'm looking for. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, that's what we're going to be talking about over here tonight. God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, listen real close. You tonight are a physical earth. You're made out of the dust of the earth, and I know that you say we're in the image of God, but the Bible says here you're without form. You're without form because you fell to the image of the beast. And you're without form. You're made in the likeness of animals. God created Adam and Eve in His image. But because of the fall, you've taken on the form of beast and lost your image in Christ. You've lost your spiritual image, your spiritual understanding. You think like beast. You eat like beast. You act like beast. And you lost your understanding. Now you say, Brother Pike, can you prove that? The Bible teaches that we're changed from glory to glory into the glorious image of God. Now that if we're changed from glory to glory into the image of God, how can we be in the image of God? Either we lost our image or we didn't. And if we didn't lose it, then why would He change us from glory to glory into it? Says we don't even know what He looks like. Somebody said, I can tell by looking at you. The Bible don't say that. The Bible says you can't even tell what He looks like.
There's no image in the earth where you can tell what God looks like. Now, you don't know what he looks like, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and then we'll be changed into his glorious likeness and be just like him. So then we're on our way back to the image of God. All right, it says here, it says that, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Water symbolized people. How many of you know that? Water symbolized people. All right, he said, I'll put a firmament in the midst of the waters, and I'll let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, we could point out something else here, but we won't. Just remember this one thing now. The Bible said he divided the waters from the waters. He divided from the waters from the waters, and he put a firmament in the midst of the waters. All right? What is the firmament that God put in the midst of the waters? The Bible said it was heaven. He put heaven and divided the waters from the waters. Now then, I want you to get spiritual tonight. I want you to concentrate and I want you to listen as I try to explain to the very best of my ability, because all this is jumbled up, and as I explain it, I want you to write it down on your paper that you might understand it. Now, just remember this one thing. That right here, I've got a line drawn all the way through here. And right here is the cross where Jesus died, right here. Right here is the flood. I signified it with a cross, because what took place here in the natural is exactly what took place here in the spiritual. I can't go into it and explain it all, but I spent many years in unraveling it by the mind of Christ, and it's exactly what took place. And I'll try to explain a little bit along if we can, but just explaining the chart will be enough. Outside of trying to go into the revelation of each individual thing. It's like a tree. You take a tree and you got the trunk of it, and all you can do is just like this. If I called this a family tree tonight, if I said this was God's family tree, all I could do would be to teach on the trunk of the tree or the major or main body of the tree and not mess with the limbs running out on it, because there's many, many revelations. You run out one limb, that's a revelation. You get out on the limb, and there's about 20 or 30 more little limbs running out from that. You get out on one of them, there's another one running out from that. And then the leaves, and it just goes right into infinity. That's what God wanted to do. He chose it to pull you back into the Holy Spirit, just like when God projected himself, as I said the other night, into formation. He projected himself into formation coming from infinity. But when he finished his work, then he wants to bring us back into infinity. How many of you understand what I'm trying to say tonight? It's just like a reversible jacket. You got a jacket, you wear it one way, and then you get tired of it, you reverse it and wear it another way. Well, what Satan done in the garden here, I'm the garden right along here, America, Millennium, and Garden. That's what I got that up there to represent. Finding in the garden here that what Satan done, he perverted mankind. He took him away from his original image, which was the image of God, and he done him just like he would the jacket. He turned it inside out. Just like he would the jacket, he turned him inside out, and he perverted man, and that's why the preachers preach to be converted. They are perverted, so you must convert them. Just like an automobile that you call a convertible. And you know what a convertible automobile is? If you take the top off of it, then you've done got it perverted, because it's not in its original form. But when you left the top up, then you've converted it back to its original form. So then you have to have a conversion to come back to the original form. All right, now what I'd love for you to do tonight, I'd love for you to consider, I'd love for you to draw a little circle just like I got here, then draw another circle, and then draw another circle. That's the first thing I'd love for you to do on your paper tonight. I'd like for each one of you to draw a 3-in-1 circle. Can you do that for me? Draw it kind of neat, and draw it to where you can understand it as we try to put these things down. Now, I know before we get started that we're nothing like going to get into the subject, but we're going to get what we can of it. Enough to where we won't. So Toby, he can verify that. I think he spent about 3 solid hours this afternoon just looking at the chart. And finally, he began to get into it. He began to understand it, began to tell me what it meant. Now, Brother Bill and some of the others, Brother Roy and different ones, they understand some of this because they've been spending some time in Revelation. and they understand it.
When you get this drawn, I want you to look at it like this. I want to get my thoughts together, so I want you to really get into the spirit to where I can get in the mind of Christ. Now here today I didn't have no interference. I just sat there with my mind on the Lord. It was no trouble to go right through it and fix it. But remember, we've got all kind of minds in here tonight, all kind of spirits running around in here tonight. It makes it difficult for me to even hit the stream of the mind of Christ. But whatever you do, you try to just get right in there and concentrate to give me extra strength to where I can stay in there. Well, I'll put 1,000 to flight, but I might need 2 tonight because it might be 10,000 here. Alright, so we notice here that this circle is kind of like Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of the wheel, way up in the middle of the air. You kind of saw a strange thing over there. And here it is, we look at it. Now, notice this one thing, that this circle right in here, it represents the human spirit. That's what we want you to remember. And the second circle right here represents the human soul. And this third circle out here represents the human body. Now, look at that just like you had a man cut half in two and you're looking right straight down on the top of it. Now then, look at it like this, like it was a tree. And within here is the heart of the tree, within here is the body of the tree, and within here is the bark of the tree. I want to give you enough foundation to where you'll get an idea of what we're talking about. Now then, when you look at it like, how many have understood that so far? All right, now, I want you to look at it like this. I want you to look at this little inner circle like it's Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. You put that down in the inner circle. Then I want you in this next circle, I want you to look at it like it's the United States. In the next circle. Now, in the next circle, I want you to look at it like it's the United Nations. Now, I don't want to take you too fast. We just want to take our time and we'll try not to hold you too long tonight. But now, when you get the circle strong, when you make your inner circle, get all three circles in line and paralleling like they're supposed to, then we'll go a little bit further. Now, write as tiny as you can and as plain as you can because there's a lot of things that you have to put in one space. Now, I've got a chart already drawn. I think I got it with me. It's on a big white piece of paper. It's a chart made something like this, except it has all the dates on it. And all the way from the garden, all the way around to the millennium, it's got all the dates on it and events all down through the years showing the angels, the sounding of the trumpets and the vials and different things on it. And I couldn't draw this one like that. I just had to draw this one the best I could here. But now then, I haven't passed any of these charts out because nobody would understand them until you're able to teach them or get somebody to where they can understand them. Now, have you got this right here? All right, I want you to put right in here now. Now remember, listen real close. This right here was Washington, D.C. This right here was the United States. Now, inside of this first little circle is Washington, D.C. Inside of the second circle is the United States. Inside of the third circle, it is the United Nations. Now, you understand that? Now, it makes it real easy. It's just like your ABCs and just like learning your tables. When I was in school, I never did learn my arithmetic tables. I was a poor, poor boy in school. I never did learn my arithmetic tables. So you can imagine what kind of time I had. It was a hard time. My cousin, he learned his, and he never did have no trouble. So this is kind of the ABCs that we're speaking of now. All right? Now, within here, you've got your first natural layout. Now, whatever you do, that is the formula for what we're fixing to do. We're going to use that formula to find the unknown. Now, I said first that this was a human body cut half in two, to where you could just look down in it, you know, to make it easy. That it was the spirit of mankind, it was the soul of mankind, and it was the body of mankind, working from his heart outward. Now, you got that, and then we said it was like a tree where you saw it down, and you looked down at the stump, and from here, you got the heart, then you got the body, and then you got the bark of it. God is triune, God is always three in one. He always works like that. If you ever get a revelation from God, you got to run out 3 steps. Just like they say in school, you take a problem, you run out to the first step, and then the second, and then to the third power before you ever get your answer. So then, God working in types and shadows, we see it run out to the third power here. Notice I said again that it was the United States and the foreign nations which maketh the whole world within this circle. This whole circle takes in the whole world. Not only does it take in the whole world, but as you'll see in a little bit as we explain it, it takes in all of eternity. All of eternity is comprehended within the mind of Jesus Christ. And this is just a kind of a brief drawing to acquaint you with the mind of the Lord Jesus. All right, now then, I want you to remember one more thing. That this not only portrays the United States, but this portrays the tabernacle in the wilderness in the days of Moses. All right, now then, put right in here the holies of holies. And you'll notice as you do this, you'll get revelation while you're doing it. While you're drawing and writing those things, you'll be surprised to know that God will speak to your heart as you make these comparisons, and you'll be astounded at the discoveries that you get as you use your paper right there. All right, write the holies of holies right in the middle there. The holies of holies, when you get that right in the middle, all right, write it to where you can read it and where you won't be confused when you go back. All right, in this next circle right here, I want you to put it the inner court. The inner court. This is the holies of holies. The next one is the inner court. Now, if you'll notice these things, you'll see how wonderful God is. Now, you might not realize how wonderful He is, but you'll realize how wonderful He is. And the Bible said we're to come into the fullness of His stature, and you'll realize how far we are from being like Him, because this is what He's like. Now then, here we got the holies of holies, and then you got the inner court here. All right, now then, on the next one, where you've got the United Nations, I want you to put the outer courts. The outer courts. Now, you remember the Bible said that He would let them trample underfoot the outer courts until the day of redemption. Didn't He say that? That He would let the outer courts be trampled underfoot until the day of redemption. Now, notice, I'm trying to compact everything into one. Now, I believe you're getting revelation already. All right, now then, trying to compact it into one, when I say one thing, it means all of those things that I spoke of. That's why I'm trying to lay the foundation like this, because when you get one revelation, it runs out, 1, 2, 3, into all of those things. All right, now then, don't get afraid when the water gets deep. Don't get afraid because you won't drown. It's just like a boomerang. You sling it way out yonder, and it boomerangs and comes right back to you. So don't get afraid. Don't let Satan take advantage of you. All right, now then, here you are in your inner court, or rather your holies of holies, your inner court and your outer court. Now, He said He would let the outer courts lay waste, but there would come a day when He would redeem the outer courts. He promised us He would redeem the outer courts. Now, the outer courts, notice it is the foreign nations in this. Now, what we got in here is natural. I better put this down before we get into anything else, because if I don't, you might not be able to follow me. Notice, put this in here. Put your a little mark of some kind or something to remember by and put spirit or spiritual. Right? I tell you, the best, just put spirit. That's the best way to understand. Just put spirit. If you haven't got it, put spirit. Alright? Now, right here, put your physical. After you get spirit or spiritual in your... Put spirit or spiritual in your inner circle, and then put the physical on your second circle. Inside your inner courts are near your second circle. Always keep them near your circle so you won't get confused and you'll know where they are. Alright? Now that in this other, put natural. Place them around just anywhere you want to, just so you'll understand it. Alright, now, you got natural, physical, and spiritual. It's better to put spiritual instead of spirit on that inner circle there, because we got to bring spirit out again. Alright, I want you to put this down now. I want you to put near your outer circle, right within this radius here, in your outer circle, I want you to put body if you haven't got it. Put body. Have you got that? Have we got that as yet? Put body near the outer circle. Have we already got that? Have we got soul on the inner circle? Right here in this middle circle here. I don't want body on one, I want soul on another, and I want angel on another. Right? The reason I say angel, that's to let you know that it's the angelic world, that it's heaven. I don't do it that way, you'll get confused. All right, now then, I don't want to take you too fast because I felt just a little waver in the spirit while ago. I got a little bit too fast for you. I don't want no waver. I just want you to sit steady and just come right in. If I get too fast, it'll cause Satan to create a fear and you'll get all bum-fuzzled and you won't know where you're going. All right, now then, here let's start again. Our outer courts, which was left unredeemed here. He said he would leave it unredeemed. But if you'll read in the book of Revelation, he said there would come a time when he would redeem the outer court. Now, he said, leave them alone. Let the Gentiles trample them under their feet until the day of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, preachers, if I hit the wrong stream here, if I say something that's contrary, I want you to stop me. Because I want the confirmation of the elders. That's the only way you can build is but one foundation. And we built it all down through the years. And one stone fits upon another. All right, now then, here's the outer courts here. In types and shadows and revelations, we see the great mind of Almighty God and what He has done. Now, this will make you know also that God doesn't do things haphazard. When you see a little lily growing out in the field, or you see a little bug, a little bee flying around the flower, you'll know that it didn't just happen. But God would not even let that little bee fly around the flower if there wasn't a spiritual revelation in it. Now you say, Brother Pike, you're beside yourself. No, I know what I'm talking about. I broke all those things down to the mind of Christ, right on down to the little insects of the world, right on down to the germs of the body, and I know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just as precise as what we're doing right here. God is perfect. His precision in everything, even the hairs on your head, is numbered. Not one of them will perish without God knowing about it. All right, now then, here is the outer courts. This is the outer courts. Now we can get a real good understanding here, and we're listening real good. The reason that we've had wars, have you ever wondered why that the wars was always fought on the other man's field and never got to the United States? Have you ever wondered about that? You say, well, Brother Pike, it's just because we're a great nation. No. No, it ain't because we're a great nation. It's because God works everything after the counsel of His own will. He creates the good and He creates the evil. The Bible said so. And He has His way in the good and He has His way in the evil. He just does any way He wants to. So in His master plan, He has laid down a master plan. In His master plan, He has set everything in place that it might be allegories of formulas, that it might teach us the things of God. Now, before I say any more, let me say this. When I say allegories, some of you might not understand what I'm talking about. You might say, well, Brother Pike, why do you preach this when Paul the Apostle didn't preach it, when Peter didn't preach it? But, brother and sister in Christ, this is what they preach. The Bible said, let us teach the same thing. Paul said, the revelation was made known to me while I was in the Arabian desert. And he said, it was made known to me. I wasn't taught it by man, but by the Holy Spirit. So when you get this, it's not a teaching of men. This is the Holy Spirit teaching. So, now then, in the Arabian desert, he got the revelation. And he said, I was caught up to the third heavens and saw things that in that hour I wasn't even permitted to tell. Now, he couldn't even tell the people back there. It was unlawful, according to the laws of God, for him to tell the people. Because they were in such an immature state, he just couldn't do it. But now in this hour, the Bible said there's made known unto the church the manifold wisdom of God, even to the heavenly places, the principalities and the powers. He said it's in heavenly places. Said many great men have desired to see this day. Many prophets have desired to see this day. All of the men of old looked forward to this day. They wanted to see what we see. He said they desired to see what you see, but they couldn't see it. It wasn't given to them. Now, if it had been given to them, it would have caused them to have been translated. That's why God did not let them know the mysteries of the kingdom. But the mysteries is to be finished. Now then, if did Paul teach these things? I just want to say one thing to prove to you that he did. Did Paul preach these things? All right, let's see if he did. Over there in one place, he spoke of Abraham and Abraham's two wives. Didn't he do it? And he said, brethren, which things are an allegory? Was that what Paul preached? He said, this is Sarah, and this is Hagar. He said, which things are an allegory? He said, for Hagar answers to the law, and the law to Mount Sinai, and Mount Sinai to Jerusalem, which is now on earth, which is in bondage with her children to the traditional of the elders. Is that right, Brother Miller?
That's right.
All right. Then in the next one, he spoke of Sarah, and he said, Sarah
answereth to heavenly Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. Is that right? All right. We see then that Paul taught the very same thing that I'm teaching, types and shadows and allegories. Then when he spoke of the Old Testament, he said there is a veil over the face of the people in the reading of the Old Testament. He said, which veil is done away with in Christ Jesus. Which means when you get in the mind of Christ, you see to the end of those things, and you see the types and shadows, and you see that it was exactly a pattern of the need. That's what it was. I wish we could get into the heavenly city here tonight and explain it, but we don't want to get too much going. Now then, that is why, when I speak of the outer courts, that is why I say that the wars in the past was fought in the outer courts. It's always been bloodshed in the outer courts. The trouble has always been over yonder in the outer courts. Why? Because the German and the Russian and those people that occupy that country, they represent the outer courts. And the Bible said, let the outer courts be trampled down by the Gentiles. Did he say that? Until the day of the Gentiles be fulfilled. All right, how many of you remember when Roosevelt went in office? You remember that? All right, when Roosevelt went in office, he came in to give us a type of Solomon. He came in, and you know what he done? He came in that hour, and he made a league with the foreign nations, and instead of the United States, he brought in the outer courts because he linked them up with the United States. Now, he started a process. He started a process, but in this last hour, the Pope of Rome is supposed to come into the United States. And when he does, he'll enter into the holies of holies as the type of Christ. And he'll stretch his power out through here in this inner court. And then he'll reach out here with the United Nations. And he'll take control of the United Nations because that is the way he will redeem the outer court. How many of you remember that when he came over here to America and he asked to speak to the United Nations? You remember that? All right, immediately when he came over, how many of you remember the darkness that hit New York? It had never happened beforehand. Then you know there was a chain reaction around the country. There's clipping after clipping where the power went off around the country. In other words, that great darkness signified that the days of light was gone, that the night was upon us. So it took place in the great city of New York. All right, now then, the outer courts have been trampled down. But now is the hour to redeem the outer courts. How many of you can tell me tonight in just what I've already said, how many of you can tell me how that affects the church, which is those that are here right now in the outer courts? Can somebody just give me a brief explanation of how the outer courts affects the church?
It affects it quite a bit, brother.
All right.
In different ways.
All right, in many ways, Brother Miller. It certainly does. Yeah. Brother.
The spirit. Even as the Moses the Polish or Washington, D.C. reaches out to the United Nations or out in the United States and out to the United Nations,
yes.
That's why the Spirit is working its way out in our mortal flesh, that it might get the mortal flesh and glorify.
All right, how many of you heard that? That's exactly right. The kingdom of God is within here. The ruling authority goes out through the government. If we had time, we could go into it and show you every office in the government and what it represents. Every office, right on down from the president to the vice president, right on down to his cabinet, right on down to the senators, and right on down to the governors. And I could tell you every position by the Spirit of the Lord that those things represent in the church. Who represents the evangelist? Who represents the pastor? And right on down till we come to the city. And then when we get out of the city, we tell you about the sheriff and the policeman and all those things. And he'd come right on down and tell you what every machine along the street means when you put your money in to get a Coca-Cola, and what every pipe are running out from the different houses, what the houses mean. All the pipelines, like gas line and water pipe, all those things running out in every vein of oil that runs through the ground. And what it means, everything is spiritual revelation. Oh, we don't have time to go into that. Now then, but the thing is, I want you to get the major thought here tonight. See, in other words, the holies of holies, the inner courts and the outer courts. Now then, that's when you speak of it as the world. That's the way it looks when you speak of it as the world. But that is in the world aspect of it. That is the natural. That is the natural. You understand that? The world aspect of it, that is the natural. But now then, when we come down to the physical aspect of it, But it takes on a different look. Isn't that right? It takes on a different look. When we come down to the physical aspect of it, then we see it here. You've already got it rolled down, so I won't lose you. We see it here as body, soul, and spirit. You've already got that rolled down. We saw it in the natural. We saw it as the five nations of the United States and it's Washington. That's in the natural water world of plant life. You want to put that down, that it's water world? In your outer circle, you can put plant life or water. Just put plant life and put water. You might wonder how this will affect you about baptism. This will show you the three-in-one baptism and why the world has stumbled at it like they have. All right, now everything that we're doing here goes back to what we taught you about Daniel. It goes back to what we talked the other night about the three people in the earth and how that these three people would come to one, how the Trinity got started, leaving oneness and coming back to oneness. Everything we got here will coincide with that and just fit right in place with it. Art, you got your first outer circle water or plant life. You got those two things. Art, the next circle here, we want you to put blood. I want you to put blood. This is flesh life. Blood and flesh life. Go right ahead, brother. What was it?
In Revelation, he said, come out of her, my people. Now, that's the church plane. It's the church all the way through. And the fall of the church is a church all the way through. Hagar and her children represent the Babylon, the false church all the way through. Sarah represents the holy church. And we're too much in the flesh. Now, we're not in the Holy of Holies. But we can't be. But he said, come right now because we're too much in the flesh. To understand the revelation, he said, come out of her, my men, that you be not partaker of her sins.
Try.
And we've got to move, and when we get moved, we'll see eye to eye and speak the self same thing, brother. And we'll be to where we can get rid of the cancers and all the sicknesses of the body, brother, and we can get enough divine to seek God's face and fast and pray and walk to Him. So we can have a body so spiritual and so Satan can.
Amen.
That's what I see. We're not there. But we're going to have to get there, Brother
Pike.
I understand what you're doing.
Amen.
What you're trying to teach is true.
Then
evident fact. And we'll have to get there. If we don't, we're not
none of us. Amen. All right, now the reason he run off ahead of you is because he's a preacher. He's got the insight, and he was able to get it all over. Look there. All right, now then. Now, on our second circle here, I asked you to put blood or flesh, didn't I? On the outer circle, I asked that you would put water or plant life. All right, one more circle here. On the inner circle, I want you to put spirit. You might already have that. All right, I want you to put spirit or angel, and I believe you've already got both of those. All right, now then, I ask you to do that because I've got it listed here as life, blood, and flesh. I've got it listed from inner to outer, life, blood, and flesh. All right, now then, you've heard me speak of the innocent life, so I won't have to talk about that much. The innocent life. Now then, we've looked at it as the natural world, but now we're going to look at it as the physical world, which is the human body. All right, now then, we've looked at it as the natural world, but we're going to look at it as the physical world. And when you speak of the physical world is the temple of God. How many of you know that? The temple of God. All right, now you can see the temple of God, and when you see this as the temple of God, you will see just exactly what the tabernacle was in the wilderness. Peter said, as long as you're in this tabernacle. All right. Now then, notice this, children of God. Notice real close now. In this part right here, we said holies of holies. We said it was Washington. And now then, we want you to put in there, you've already got spirit. We want you to put in there, kingdom of God. I told you you had a lot to put in one circle. I know it's going to push you kind of close. All right, I want you to put in there, kingdom of God. Now then, after you get kingdom of God, I won't have to ask you to put inner court and outer court because you've already got it. It'll be one and the same thing. Now, the only thing before it was natural. It was natural. It was a natural allegory of the United States, all the world, but now it's a physical inner court and outer court. See, the first was a natural inner court and outer court. The next one is a physical inner court or outer court. Now you might wonder why it is. You might wonder why it is that we break this down into threes like we do. But this is the only way that God can show you what happened to humanity. There's no other way. He had to break himself down in the Trinity to show you what happened to humanity. Now, then, there's no other way that God could do it. All right, now, we broke it down into water, blood, and spirit. Everybody that's got that, let me see your hand. Broke it down into water, broke it down into blood, we broke it down into spirit. And the reason I did that, because the Bible said there's three that bear witness in the earth, the water, the blood, and the spirit. And you've heard us speak how the water came in Noah's day by the blood, how the blood came in Jesus' day by the blood, and how that the spirit came at Pentecost or was predestined to come in the millennium to give us a baptizing in the millennium. Now then, in the first 4,000 years, I don't want to get over there too far in that yet, but I'm just going to say this right quick. In the first 4,000 years, which was called the law dispensation, there was a baptism of water that covered all the earth. Don't put that down just yet. Now, covered all the earth. That was a baptism of water that covered all the natural earth in the days of Noah. All right, now then, the second witness was the blood witness that was to the physical world, which was the human body, and the blood that Christ spilled covered all the physical world. Every man was covered by the blood, by grace. Now, that second one was in the 2,000 years from the cross all the way around to the millennium. But then the last one was in the millennium, which was 1,000 years, and it was to the angel world when God would pour out His Spirit upon all the angelic beings. And inside we are as angels. In heaven we shall be as the angels. In the spirit world we shall be as the angels. I wish we had time to go into all this. It's so beautiful, but I know I can't. I just got to get what we can. All right, but don't put that down just yet, because that would confuse you. Now, I just want to drop the thought in. Now then, we're still dealing with the physical world. How many of you understood the natural world in its types and shadows of the United States and so forth? All right, now that tells you why all the war went on the outer fields. But you wait. You wait just a little while and see if it stays out yonder in the outer courts. You see where the bums fall next time. All right, now then you'll know that God works in precision. All right, now then, we see this part here, and then we came to the physical. We said we're going to apply the whole thing to the physical world because it's still three in one, which is the blood world. We left the water world, now we're dealing with the blood world, and inside of here is the kingdom of God, and here is the soul of humanity. This is the kingdom of God because it is the spirit of man right here. It is the spirit of man. God's spirit and man's spirit, making it the kingdom of God, changing his spirit. He could not come into man's spirit because man's spirit was impure. Therefore, he had to, of necessity, change our nature to the nature of Jesus Christ. Now, what he had to do was take the spirit of Jesus Christ and put Jesus' spirit in our spirit and his spirit in Jesus' spirit. That's the wheel in the middle of the wheel that Ezekiel saw. God and Christ. You understand that? And Christ in us. Because the Holy Spirit could not get to our spirit except through the Son's spirit. Because the Son, God was heavenly and we were earthly. We were sinful and God was righteous. But Jesus Christ stood and took hold of the hand of God and the hand of man. And as his spiritual being becomes the mediator between the Holy Spirit and man's spirit, that he might be the channel through which God could feed our spirit to eternal life. Now then, he had tasted sin and he tasted righteousness, so he knew all of it, and he was subject to both worlds. Now you understand that? So then God had to go right here in this inner circle here and put Christ's nature in your nature and had to put God's nature in Christ's nature to make it three in one here in the little inner circle. Now, I don't know how to tell you to put that down. You just have to put it down up here, I reckon. But if you know how to put it down within here, I know you already got so much that it'd be hard to get it in there. But what it is, it's three spirits in one. Can you put three in one right there? Just put three in one. Just put it in numbers. A number three and put I in and then put one. And by it, if you want to, you can put God, just put GCM. That'll be God, Christ, and man.
The three in one. All right, now then. All right, now then. That is the physical world. That is the physical world, and that has to do with the very first part, the inner part, which is the holiest of holies. Now then, what about the second part out here? Let's get the second part. It is the soul of humanity. The inner part is the angel of man, or the spirit of man, but in this next one out here, it is the soul of humanity. Now, this is where all the trouble is. Right in the soul realm is where all the trouble is. Now, why is the trouble in the soul realm? It's because that when God created man, he made man equal to himself and in his own image. And he placed him on the plane of spirit in the garden. Now, he was a partaker there in the garden on the spiritual plane, but he fell from this realm right here, which is the garden, the heart. He fell from the spirit realm, and he fell down to the beast realm, which is the blood realm right here. God created a water world of plant life. He created a beast world of blood life. He created an angelic world of spirit life. That's what God did. Now, you got them all listed here, see? All right, this middle realm here, if you want to just jot a little something down on it, just put beast right there on your middle rim so you can keep them straight. I wish I had color so I could have put that red on the inside and put these in color to where you could have got a better idea. Some night we love to teach on colors and on the irons and metals and things. But right here, in our second rim right here, we can see that is the beast rim, and that man fell from the spirit. He failed here to the blood rim. That's why Cain and Abel... over there, that's why they had such a dispute. And that's why God never did accept Cain's sacrifice and accepted Abel's, because Cain did not have the revelation. He did not see what it was. All right, now then. All right, now, if you can see now, the trouble has always been blood. That's what's called all the trouble of the world is blood. You understand that? Blood has caused all the trouble of the world. That's why Jesus spilled it at Calvary and made an end of the blood world. And said, he that is born of spirit is spirit. Leading us back to infinity. Alright, now then we're in the second realm here, which is the soul. And it's within this realm that innocent life is held in bondage, because the life is in the blood. And the blood represents the soul realm. Now then, we won't talk about what the soul is, but just call the soul blood for right now. That way you'll keep it straight in your mind. You got a spirit rim, you got a blood rim, and you got a flesh rim. So just look on the soul as blood, because the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. Now, I said again and again, that's why that in Revelation it calls Satan the red dragon. Because it is the bloodline running down through the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, right on down like a serpent it comes, and it's got innocent life in bondage to temporal inspiration. It carries not eternal inspiration, but it carries temporal inspiration, and it has to live from the beast world. It has to live from the plant life. That's the only way it can do. Now, in return, it has to have a spirit life, but it cannot get eternal spirit, so it has to have a temporal inspiration or a temporal spirit life. Until God can open the fountain in the house of David, which he has done, to give us the eternal inspiration that we spoke of the other night, that he might cut off the outer inspiration, and that's why the church is going through the dry places. You remember that, don't you? We talked about it the other night. I don't want to say too much about that and get us confused. Okay, then we know that the trouble is in here. Now then, the Bible said there's a continual warfare between the body and the soul, which means the battle is here and here. These two rims here is where the battle is. All right, why is the battle here when God's kingdom is in here? Because it's right here where they meet. They meet right there in the soul to have their battle. They're battling over the soul. That's where the battle is. God's kingdom here comes out here. Now let me prove that by types and shadows. What does the United Nations do right here in Washington, the headquarters? They send out their command and they go right here where the ocean is, and they stand right around here. You can put ocean on that little middle rim if you want to. They go right here at the ocean and they stand guard with their radar and their ships and everything. And right there they stand guard. And they fight from the shores of America to keep everybody away from that inner court there. Now, which is the soul? All right? now that in here is the battleground. The kingdom of God's here, and the Spirit of the Lord comes out into the human soul. And he comes out by eternal inspiration through man's spirit. But Satan on the outside of the body here, he comes in through the medium of the five senses through the outer rim. Moses over here, and you got Luther on the left-hand side. Okay, now then if you got that, you've already got Abraham, you've already got Jacob, you've already got Joseph, and now then you've got Moses over here. All right, come on down a little further, and just this side of Moses, I want you to put a line across your circle here to show the Red Sea. Write Red Sea on it. All right, then after you get that, come on down here, just a little ways more, and I want you to put Jordan, put your line across and put Crossing of Jordan. It might be better just put Crossing Jordan, or just Jordan, ever how you can remember it best. Now then, if you've got that, let's come over to this side before we fill in. Let's come over here so we won't get mixed up. You got Pentecost paralleling Abraham, haven't you? All right. You got Martin Luther paralleling Moses, haven't you? Have you? All right. Now then, I want the apostles. I want the time of the apostles here. I might have to straighten this chart out a little later, but just for tonight, so we can hurry. I want you to parallel the apostles' troubles, heartaches, and deaths with the time of Jacob's trouble. Can you do that? Parallel the trouble when the apostles was killed. Remember, the 12 sons of Jacob was the 12 natural tribes of Israel, and the name was given to them Israel because it was changed from Jacob to Israel being a nation's name. All right, the same thing happened to Jesus. He had 12 spiritual sons to start the 12 spiritual tribes. And Jesus' name was changed from Jesus to Christ, the anointed one, which means Christian, a nation's name. That's why we're called Christian. Now, I want you to understand that. That doesn't mean he done away with the name Jesus. But Jesus is the name of the natural body. Now, that's the way he carried it. Though we know it's the Heavenly Father's name, but Christ means anointed, which is the Spirit. Do you understand? All right. Now then, now you got that? Now, if you want to jot this in here, you can. Right over here on this side of Jordan where they went into Canaan land. Now, after they got into Canaan land, I'm just going to tell you about this, and you'll just have to put in there whatever you want to. But as they got into Canaan land, the major things that happened here was the throne of David and the throne of Solomon. And at the end of the throne of Solomon, Nebuchadnezzar came up and took all the tribes into captivity. You remember that everything was well in David's day, everything was well in Solomon's day. But you remember after Solomon's son came in, that the tribes were split up. It's spiritual and it's beautiful in Revelation. But let's go tell you the natural side of it. Now, they split up, and two tribes stayed with Jeroboam, I believe it was, the son of Solomon. I'm not sure about that. Is that right, brother? All right, anyway, it was Solomon's son, and here the tribes split up. 10 of them went one way, and 2 of them stayed with Solomon's son. Now, I want you to get this because of spiritual revelation concerning it way up here. So then, Benjamin and Joseph. Can you get that? Judah it is, but it'll come out of here, Joseph. Benjamin and Judah stayed here with Solomon's son, but the other 10 went their way. Now, if you can see that, you'll see the denominations of the world, and you'll see the Jesus name people, the separation. If you just watch it right here. And it's beautiful. You can see the Catholics, the Jew, and the Christian all in these 3 that split up here. It's real beautiful in Revelation. All right, now then, we just told you that because I wanted you to put right where Nebuchadnezzar was, I wanted you to put out that Babylon. That's what I wanted you to put, was Babylon. And between Babylon and the cross, you've got to fill in there a little place where it's the building back the walls of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was building back the walls. Now this is what we preached on in Daniel. This will help you to see the prophecy of Daniel. 434 years you can fill in from the time Daniel was over here in Babylon until the cross where the Messiah was cut off that we taught on the other night. 434 years. You can put it down and put your little arrow pointing out to Babylon and pointing to the cross. Now, that's about all you can fill in right there now without messing up your chart. All right, now then, between Jordan and the Red Sea, I want you to put the wilderness. And on the other side of the Red Sea, it won't take you too fast, on the other side of the Red Sea, between Joseph and the Red Sea, I want you to put Egypt. Remember, Abraham was in Canaan land to begin with. How many of you know that? He was in Canaan land until he went down in Egypt. Is that right, Brother Miller? All right, he was in Canaan land before he went down into Egypt. So then if you want to, you can put up there. Well, it might confuse you if you've done that, so don't put anything up there with Abraham. All right, now then, we're coming over here on this side of the chart, and we've been paralleling things on the way. Did you put the apostles paralleling Jacob's trouble? Did you get that? All right, then if you did, I want you to put here in parallel with Egypt. In parallel with Egypt, I want you to put, let me get it straight here now. First, let's parallel these so we won't get confused. Put right over here, paralleling Jordan right here. Let's back up to the Red Sea. Put paralleling the Red Sea. Have you got it? Put paralleling the Red Sea, the ocean. See, that's where Columbus and them crossed over, the ocean. And put BS up over it, which means Bloody Sea. Put BS up over it, Bloody Sea. Alright, the Red Sea paralleling the ocean, the Bloody Sea, where they crossed over into America. Have you got that? Now, we'll have to straighten the charts out a little bit later, like I tell you, but this will keep you straight for now. Alright, put Jordan down here, the crossing of Jordan, and parallel it up here with Washington crossing the Delaware. Just put it right there for now, and we'll get to it later and straighten it out. This way it'll keep us straight, it'll keep our minds straight. All right? Now then, after you've got that, you've got Jacob's trouble. All right, now then, I want you to put Rome in rule. Rome in rule, or either Pope in rule. I want you to put it parallel in Egypt. I want you to put it parallel in Egypt for me. You got that? Now, it might do well if you put over here close to the ocean where you got the ocean. It might do well to put Columbus or either put Mayflower. I got Columbus over here, 1492. You can put that if you like. But you know it was the Mayflower that came over and landed not far from where we're at right now. Over around Virginia or Massachusetts, somewhere back in that area in the New England states. It's right along in the New England states or just below the New England states. But anyway, you know more about that than I do. But anyway, you got it. Now, have you got that? All right, now, remember that right here, we ain't going to be able to put all this down. I'm going to leave the chart up here so we'll get a little more later. But this will give you some of it. All right, now, right up here, if you'll notice that denominations means Babylon in the spirit. How many of you know that?
Amen.
All right. Now then, spiritually speaking, they went over here after the Canaan land experience, they went into Babylon. Now then, after the American experience over here, which was the Canaan land, which you got as millennium, after this America experience, what did they do? They denominated and went right back into the Catholic religion, which was Babylon. The Protestants came out over here in Luther's day, came to America, but they wound up in denominations again, which denominations came out from the Great Whore, which was the Catholic religion, or the image of the beast that was to be built. Billy Graham, I believe with all my heart, he's the false prophet of Revelation, and he's leading the Protestant people back into the Catholic Church, and this Protestant people is the image of the beast that the false prophet said that Revelation said the false prophet would make under the Catholic Church. Okay, right here, this is Babylon, and they went back into Babylon. They denominated. So you put Babylon up there and make Babylon parallel with Babylon down here. Can you do that? Babylon parallel. You're almost to the cross with Babylon down here, so you'll be almost to the cross of Noah up there with Babylon. Okay, now Babylon. Now, I want you to jot this down to where you can remember it. We're going to stop here in just a few minutes. We're not going to try to get any more because it would confuse you. I just put a lot of the other up there for memorandums. Okay, now then down here in Babylon about this time, you remember Daniel was raised up, saw all those great visions. And if you can see this, Nehemiah come to build the walls back. Remember? All right, Daniel and Nehemiah down here. I mean, right for the time being, we're going to parallel them with William Branham. William Branham, right down in here. Just parallel him with Nehemiah now, building the walls back to the coming of the Messiah. That'd be the best way to do it. You got Nehemiah here, come up here. and put William Branham right after you get to Babylon, because they spent 70 years down in Babylon and then they came out. Now, without going into the revelation of it, but we want you to put it down so you can parallel it there. Now, we pretty well got our chart for what we want right tonight. Now, I'm going to ask you to put one more thing, and I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe this will get our chart for tonight, and we'll finish up for tonight. All right, now to put one more thing. We got natural, physical, and we got spiritual. All right, now then, in your natural, which is the outside, which is the Jew. Now, in your natural, we want to parallel these here in the natural, so I want you to put Solomon. Solomon. Now put Solomon right in here where the Canaan land is, where the throne is. Put Solomon in the natural. Solomon. That was with the Jew over in Canaan land. In the natural. Put Solomon. Now we know that the spiritual and the physical parallels over here. So in the physical, that means that our presidents are a type of all of these judges. It was here in the natural. So in our presidency, we want to put here in our physical realm, we want to put Roosevelt. Wait, let me find out where we at right here. And in your outer crust, which is the natural, you got Solomon. And now in this circle in here, you want to put, which is your physical, you want to put Roosevelt and make it run right across here with Oral Roberts in your spiritual, right up here. Can you do that for me? Run them together right in here. In other words, in your inner circle, you want Solomon. And it doesn't make any difference if you put it on the right-hand side or the other. It might be well just to just write it across them. No, you'd have to have it on this line here. So, in other words, either side, it might be better if you put it at the top. We'll do it like that, unless you've already got it at the bottom. Put it at the top right here on your line. See, and make it parallel the same place it has to come out in America. See? Put it right there. And put Roosevelt. And then on this next line here, put Oral Roberts on the outside line. No, wait, I'm wrong. Not on the outside line. Have you got, on this line here, have you got Roosevelt? Have you got that one? Okay, I want on the inside line, which is your spiritual here, I want Oral Roberts. Right in here. I'm glad you corrected me. All right, right in there. Now then, it's needful that we put here Joshua, right down here at the crossing of Jordan. Joshua. It's needful that we put there Joshua at the crossing of Jordan. Then after you put Joshua at the crossing of Jordan, I want you to come up here in your spiritual, and I want you to put William Branham. Now you can get a beautiful picture here. I said Brother Branham would die just before Christmas Day. I think if you'll check history, you'll find that Washington went across the Delaware on Christmas Eve night and had to break the water, the ice, frozen water, to be able to get across. Brother Branham died on Christmas Eve night. You'll see how perfect the Lord works. So then put William Branham here in your inner circle and make it parallel with Jordan. But you got to come way over here to the crossing of Delaware. And you got to put Washington by the crossing of the Delaware here. Now, Washington goes in your inner circle right here. Not in your innermost circle, but your inner circle here. This is where Washington goes because this is your physical realms right here. Washington. With the presidents right here. The crossing, it was a general then. You got that one? All right, on your outer circle, on your right-hand side of Jordan, you got Joshua. Have you got that? All right, the innermost circle, you got William Branham. You got it now? Your innermost circle, William Branham. You got that one? All right, in your next circle, which is this inner circle, but not the innermost, you got Washington. Have you got that? All right, I think that'll do it for tonight. Now then, there's a lot that we could say. We're just beginning to scratch the surface. But what we wanted to do tonight was get the framework of these things. So, if you will, just fold your charts up or hold on to them now. We'll all stand together and ask the Lord's blessings. And I won't try to push you any further. We'll turn the service back to our brother.
Father, tonight we are very thankful for your word and for your spirit. And Father, we are so thankful for hungry minds and hearts. Lord, for spiritual people that love God and that's willing, Lord, to stand by those things, Father, that are right. I thank you tonight, Lord, for this great blessing. And I thank you for this great opportunity. And I ask you now, Lord, to bless these with your understanding. In Jesus' name we ask it.